You're listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabriel Owens, Alan Young, and Brian Kilby.
You know, you should really get that looked at. You know, herpes simplex B is nothing to laugh about. Hey, everybody, welcome to Outside the Cage. As always, I'm your host, the San Diegan Senate Center, Gabriel Owens. With me, as always, is the Bacardi of Bacne, Alan Young.
It's all over. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
No, it's not. Never.
Sorry. Jump the gun there.
Again. You jumped the gun about 30 minutes there. And we are back. We're talking about the last UFC card and the latest news going on in the world of mixed martial arts. I would talk a little wrestling news because I had a couple things to talk about. But I have none of my wrestling friends here. Brian and John DeLuna did not make it.
They are lame.
So pure, unadulterated mixed martial arts. Just real guys hitting people with real punches. What do you think of this weekend's card, Alan?
There were a couple of decent fights. There were some, actually a couple of pretty good fights. The main event turned out to be somewhat of a snooze fest, at least until the last minute or so.
That was about 1 second.
Well.
Describe the tweet you sent about that fight. I think that summed it up pretty well.
Oh, that it looked like Mir and Krokop were whispering sweet nothings in each other's ears rather than fighting.
Well, I guess Krokop was not doing the right thing sexually for Frank, and then he knocked him out. A lover's tiff, as you will.
You got to keep your woman in line.
It's true. And Frank did. There's some stuff going on. You said we had the card, the ongoing, why does his name just escape my face? Chael Sonnen's drug failure.
He's still remaining silent on that.
But
I've seen.
And we had the Ultimate Fighter with some GSP being very interesting. Did you watch Ultimate Fighter last week?
I did watch it last week, yes.
Well, let's start with Ultimate Fighter before we get into the main card. I was so, you know, entertained by GSP.
With his little deception.
Strategy. Do you know the term playing to the cheap seats?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. For people in our audience who aren't aware of it, it's a, not just a pro wrestling term, but it's a theater and any live performance term where you're having to act out something on stage. And because of the fact that there are people that are way in the distance, depending on how big the place is, your motions have to be really big and overblown to make sure the people in the cheap sheets, the cheap seats know what you're doing. And, you know, in pro wrestling, it's, you know, the guy is looking like he's being very sneaky, pulling his brass knuckles out of his tights, but he's making these giant grand movements to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which would only happen in pro wrestling or theater. And in theater, you know, you do big dance movements where you're flinging your arms around from the front row. You're like, wow, that's gaudy. But it's because, you know, there's a reason. Anybody who knows theater knows there's a reason for it. In pro wrestling, you know, the guy's making sure people see
what he's doing from the cheap seats, the ones that are far away.
From the cheap seats and the rafters, they know, they can see what he's doing. GSP was going to be a deceptive motherfucker. He decided he was going to pull this giant, he wanted the first fight. So, I mean, well, the story was he wanted the first fight, and if Koscheck won the coin toss, he wanted him to give up he wanted the best fighter.
Right, he was trying to, Koscheck won the coin toss, and he had the choice to choose the fighter first.
Well, the thing is, he already had this plan in place. Like, he knew, like, before that, even you know, this plan was in place before Kostyuk even won it. Like, he's in case Kostyuk won the coin toss.
Okay.
So they both wanted, like, I guess the guy, I can't even, I don't have his name in front of me, but the best fighter that was on the show looked like both Kostyuk and GSP had him as their number one pick. So GSP, you know, decided to be devious. And
he wrote a fake list with him on the number one pick on this fake list,
which was written way bigger than anything else on the list.
Right.
So instead of, there was a guy on the show who was, why, I guess, Kostyuk's buddy and training partner who GSP
wrestled with him. I think
GSP pretty much knew, like, you know, this guy, you know, Kostyuk wanted him on his team, not GSP's. So, but his real first pick was this other guy that both Kostyuk and GSP had wanted to pick first.
Right.
I'm guessing probably the, you know, probably ended up being like the number one seed of the show. So he wrote his name in like big letters on his little sheet, and then like wrote everyone else in regular, I guess it was dry erase. And he kind of laid out the plan on the show, and he's just like, you know, I'm going to let Kostyuk see what's on my board and make him think twice about, you know, who, if he does get first pick, who he's going to pick. And they're standing there. They got all the fighters in line. You know, they're waiting around. GSP is like doing,
he's kind of waving his card around to make sure that Kostyuk can see it.
It was so, I mean, they did tell the audience ahead of time what was going on. I don't,
yeah,
know. Maybe from our perspective, it looked really comical, but the day it looked comical. It was playing to the cheap seats. He was so out of his mind, like making sure Kostyuk was aware of who his number one pick was on his board. His fake number one pick. But Kostyuk didn't know it was a fake pick. So, and Kostyuk completely fell for the bait.
He did. And it was pretty damn funny.
That was hilarious. It was beauty by GSP. I was not expecting this level of deviousness from the number one baby face of UFC.
Deviousness is a fun word.
It is. And, yeah, he fell for it. And even Dana pulled GSP aside and said, what are you doing? He's like, it's a strategy. Pretty loud, actually. I was like, did Kostyuk not hear that? It's like,
I assume that must have been spoken directly into the microphone where Kostyuk actually couldn't hear it spoken.
I would hope. Because Kostyuk totally fell for it. He's like, oh, yeah, GSP is like our, like my buddy, number one. Yeah, if we get the first pick, we should make sure we pick him first.
Yeah.
Fell for it. GSP got the number one guy. And then we had a fight. It was, we didn't talk about him last week. I can't believe we missed talking about Bruce Leroy. Who any martial arts movie fan will know is a, you know, it was a character from Bruce Lee movies. But yeah, it's a black guy who
actually looks a lot like Kostyuk in the face.
Kind of. But you'd think all black people look the same, so your opinion is null and void.
Well.
But yeah, Bruce Leroy is obviously stuck himself out as the most interesting, if not the most interesting, definitely up there, character on the show. He won getting in the house.
Yeah. He walked into the cage wearing this Jackie Chan style formal gi, or Bruce Lee style, I guess.
Well, in his first fight, he wore the yellow banana suit from Game of Death, which was also homaged in Kill Bill Part 1.
Hmm.
Alan's not up on his Bruce Lee.
I am not. I remember Kill Bill.
Remember the yellow suit she's wearing? Yeah, that's.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. It's an homage to Bruce Lee.
I see.
It's a suit he wore in a movie. And that's what Bruce Lee was wearing. He's a very exciting guy. He's a, you know, black kid, just very exciting and hyper and doing all sorts of crazy things. And he's very likable.
Yeah.
He spent most of the fight getting his ass beat and then pulled out a win at the end. So he continues on. I don't know how far. He doesn't have a lot of, I don't know if skill, but definitely not a lot of experience, but he has heart.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how far he goes. But I was glad he won. You know, as much as they built him up, I was kind of afraid, especially after the first round. I'm like, they use all the footage they had of him because he's exciting and he loses. That was kind of my worry. But no, he won. So good on him. Anything else to add from the new tough you're expecting?
Not really. You are paying way more attention to it than I am.
True, I am. So that brings us to, again, before we get to the main card, Chael Sonnen, as we talked about last week, did test positive for performance-enhancing drugs.
Right.
This came out as testosterone.
Elevated testosterone indicative of steroid use, I believe, is what they said.
And I was totally expecting Chael to just say, I'm so awesome, my testosterone is just naturally really high. But he did not.
He has been silent. But he is appealing, so.
He's appealing, and Dana's came out and say, like.
He is also appealing to the ruling, so.
Well, Dana's came out and said, like, it's a very weird story, and I'm wondering how weird can it be.
Well, another weird thing I read is that he actually notified the commission in advance that he might be testing positive for this banned substance.
He did. He verbally told them. He did not put it on his, like, little medical questionnaire.
Which I can't wrap my head around at all why he would be admitting this, and why, if they knew that he had been taking it, why the commission even let him fight.
Because all they had was a verbal word. They had no test against him. He just kind of mentioned it offhand, which is what looked like it happened. I don't know what the commission's idea is. They're at that point, do they completely stop the main event for a big show, or do they just say, okay, and then just let it continue and wait for the piss test?
Get him afterwards. Mm-hmm. That's possible.
At the same time, you're looking at putting fighters, people in jeopardy because, you know, hey, if this guy's on steroids, he's on an unfair advantage, blah, blah, blah. And if, right. If he'd won, it would have been a whole bigger fucking mess than it is now.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
As of now, it's not as big of a deal other than we lost.
The rematch.
Which would have been a great rematch. Right. So, I'm just kind of wondering what is Chael's weird story, other than he told commission he might fail verbally, didn't put it on his thing, and Dana's come out and said, "Wait till the story comes out. It's something really weird." I'm like, "Okay, what's weird?
What is so far?
what's weird about? I mean, you know, you know, if his testosterone level is elevated above that, even like." You know, what they consider a high-level athlete, which I think is like, you know, testosterone I'm going to mess up the scientific. There's like, your body regulates testosterone and
estrogen.
No, estrogen. There's no. It's another word that sounds like very like testosterone. It's like anti-testosterone or like anti-testosterone or something. Epi-testosterone. You have to have a level. Most human beings have a 1-to-1. You have 1% epitestosterone to 1% or to 1 level of
testosterone. 1-to-1 ratio.
1-to-1 ratio, right. And, you know, they say for most people, you know, they give athletes because of, you know, being big, strong, testosterone-fueled people, they give them a grant up to about 4.1, meaning 4.4 level.
Ratio of 4-to-1.
Yeah, a ratio of 4-to-1 for testosterone to 1.
Epitestosterone.
So if anything above that is like, dude, you're on something. Human beings just can't, you know, 4 is right. Like, you know, scientifically speaking, 4 is like really fucking high for natural.
Right.
So there's just no way any human being would ever be above that. Even like your highest level guys. So, but again, it's even Dana's backing this. So I'm just kind of wondering, like, well, what is it? What's the story? You know, it's not flu medicine, which I think was the first story I heard. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen. You know.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see the story when whenever it comes out.
Did Josh Barnett give him candy? I mean, what's the deal? But
got Josh Barnett's ban.
Anyway, UFC 1, was this 119?
119. Okay. Beard versus Krokop.
So I've only seen the live card. We'll start with that. Melvin Gillard versus Jeremy Stephens was tabbed to be the fight of the night. Not quite.
It was a decent fight. It wasn't quite, I guess, what they'd hoped for. But it was a pretty good fight.
It was. Gillard was just, you know, scared of getting in the jiu-jitsu game, as we've talked about on the show. Gillard's an amazing...
Gillard.
It's amazing. He's a very quick, explosive athlete, but his just does not have a very good jiu-jitsu game. And this is supposed to be a stand-up battle, and he just kind of ducked out of the way of punches a lot for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Did enough to win the decision. Wasn't great. I don't think it was boo-worthy, but yeah, it wasn't super exciting. It was just a fight.
I should have taken notes.
You should have.
I should have.
You have a job to do, damn it. What do we pay?
Yeah.
For? But Gillard won, you know.
So did Gillard.
Gillard, Gillard. I like Gillard. I'm just going to say Gillard from now on because it sounds better to me. Let's be changing names randomly here.
Okay. Well, he'll get his cocaine-filled ass on you when he used to pronounce his name wrong.
All I got to do is put him in a headlock. He'll just tap out.
Okay. We'll see how that works out.
Sean Sherk versus Evan Dunham. This was the robbery of the night. I thought it was pretty clear Evan won at least definitely won two rounds. But
yeah, I agree, but I don't think it was as bad a decision as some.
I've seen worse.
There have been worse decisions, definitely. It's just depends. It's one of those things. How do you judge it? Dunham was clearly winning the stand-up battle. Was hitting Sherk in the face pretty consistently. And Sherk, on the other hand, was spending a lot of time pressing Evan Dunham against the cage. And when it went to the mat, well, actually, Dunham got Sherk in a cup, came really close to choking him out a couple of times in the guillotine. But Sherk worked his way out.
Sherk has a genetically freaky neck. I don't even think it should count.
Is it genetically freaky or is it steroid freaky?
Both. He is impossible to choke out. There's, you know, jiu-jitsu masters have tried to choke that guy out. He doesn't choke out, but he just kind of survives. People get him in perfect position. He doesn't choke out, and he kind of tempts people into, like, you know, he puts his neck out there, and you know, people. He'll go for a crazy takedown and just kind of let people, you know, like thinking they got, like, oh, which for any other human being is like, oh, his neck's wide open and I'll go for the guillotine. And he just takes them down, fight, you know, patiently waits for them to give up the guillotine attempt. And he just goes, yeah. And Dunham even said, like, yeah, I knew I shouldn't have done that because I've seen him do that in many fights, but it's just so, it's instinct.
Right.
But the second round, I think, was the, you know, deciding factor. I don't know why anyone would give. Sherk had a takedown in the second round, but did absolutely nothing with it.
Right.
Dunham won to stand up decisively. It should have, you know, the takedown, considering he did nothing with the takedown, he got right back up. He did no damage. The takedown shouldn't have counted for shit. But what are you going to do with MMA judging?
And, well, yeah, I mean, we could discuss that at length, but I think the fact is some judges at least tend to take cage control, octagon control, whatever you call it, whichever promotion we're in, and that counts higher, even though he's not really doing any damage. He's holding him against the cage, and that looks good. And that outweighs submission attempts and even a decent...
beating him in the striking.
Beating him in the striking, right.
Not even that. I just don't see how that won, but...
Well...
I don't know. I don't make the judge cards.
Right.
We had another... We had two guys looking to avenge not their losses, but a prior shitty fight between the two of them.
And they did that. That was...
They did. It's a Chris
Lytle versus Sarah.
It was a better fight. Definitely. Anything would have been a better fight. it wasn't as great as a lot of people thought it was going to be, but it was good.
They were both going after it. I have no complaints.
I have absolutely no complaints. It was a great fight. It wasn't, I think it's not as good as the two thought it was going to be. Sarah obviously doesn't give a shit about wins or losses. He went out there just to have a good fight.
Yeah, and he did. He has a freaking hard head. Because Lytle was punching him in it repeatedly, and he barely...
Lytle has a hard head. I actually thought, overall, the best flush shots were actually from Sarah, but you know, unfortunately, he's punching Lytle, you know.
Well, Sarah was also going for a lot of body shots.
He did. He was looking for the body shot a lot, trying to tire him down for the third round. It didn't work for him. Lytle doesn't give a shit either. He's just all about, like, I'm never going to be a contender. I'm never going to be a champion. I'm just going out there and earn bonuses. And they kept making mention of he is the king of bonuses with 7 at this point, which is by far the UFC leader.
Right.
They did not get one tonight, by the way. They did not get fight of the night. He did not get submission of the night because they didn't finish. And no one got KO of the night, even though there was a KO, which tells you something about the fight. But
we'll get to that.
But it was a great fight. Sarah is always, you know, I think the dude misses calling for pro wrestling, really. He's a great talker. You know, he got in there with Joe and he just owned the mic. Loved it. You know, Lytle does his thing, man. He's just out there to just put on a great fight. And he will get fights till he can't fight no more. Because, I mean, he's got 7 bonus wins. Obviously, you know, he's an attraction that well deserved for what he gets. You know, I appreciate a guy that just, you know, just says like, hey, I'm not going to be a champ. I'm not going to be a contender, but I can continually get jobs.
Right.
Every 4 months and put on an exciting fight and make a lot of money.
Right.
Good, brother. Sarah, I don't think he's long for the sport. You know, he fights like once a year now. He just wants, he's like, I already held I beat the world champ. You know, I've held the belt. I don't want a rubber match with the guy. He'll just kill me again.
Right.
You know, I'll fight when they ask me to, but he's pretty much content to run his jiu-jitsu school. So the fight was what it was. But it was a fun fight.
It was a good fight.
And then we had an interesting fight, Nogueira and Bader.
Mm-hmm.
Right guy won. It wasn't...
Yeah, it was not an exciting fight. I've been fairly disappointed in Little Nog since he came to the UFC.
Other than his initial win.
His initial win, which one was that? Was that Brills?
No, it was before Brills.
Okay.
We knocked the guy, actually knocked the guy out.
Oh, I'm drawing a blank on that, but that's okay.
No, his first fight was good. Like, he came out there, he used superior boxing, killed the guy. He looked good.
Right.
The Brills fight, you know, people thought Brills should have won, and then we got this one, which he lost, and he should have lost.
Right. And he just looked tentative. You know, he was circling. He wasn't controlling the cage. He just didn't do a whole lot. Bader, on the other hand, also didn't do a whole lot, but he did enough to get a unanimous decision victory.
Yeah, it was obviously Bader's game plan was, I'm going to take him, you know, I'll take him down or control him against the cage, but right. I'm not going to spend like long periods with him on the ground because he is, you know, Nogueira.
Right.
And so it made for not the most exciting fight. And also right. very disappointing, despite his name being Darth Vader. He just said, I guess the guys in his gym gave him the name. He doesn't really even know Star Wars.
Wow.
Screw you.
How do you not know Star Wars?
Don't think I mean, well, he knows who Darth Vader is, but he's not really a Star Wars geek. I'm like, how do you take the name Darth Vader and not be a...
At least watch the movies.
Still a good nickname. It's kind of pissing me off. It's not even interesting. But yeah, it was not the best fight. I think everyone got it. Everyone had it 30-27 for Vader. I could have seen giving the third round to Little Nog. But, you know, overall, what does it matter? Little Nog is hit and miss anytime. At this point, his 2 minute older twin brother also hit and miss, so.
Right.
Again, you start to wonder what the lack of the Brazilian and Japanese supplements do to these guys outside of Pride.
Well, I hate to make accusations where there's no evidence, but.
There's no evidence because Pride didn't drug test.
Well, true.
And all I can say is Federley Silva is like 40 pounds less than he used to be. 40 pounds of muscle, by the way. It's not 40 pounds of fat.
Right.
So. I'll never forget the main event. We had a couple other fights. CB Dalloway was the... you saw that fight?
Yes, they showed that on Spike. That was...
I heard it was a good fight.
That was pretty impressive. That was right. The it was a short fight. One round, less than half a round, anyway. The impressive thing was that Dulloway grabbed the guillotine and Dirksen spun, tried to get out of it, and they flopped around on the mat for a few seconds, and Dirksen eventually tapped because he just couldn't get out of it. But it was really an impressive sight to see. I think whoever was tweeting for the UFC that night said that it looked like Dulloway was fighting a crocodile. Dulloway looked good. It was a nice little fight.
And as we already said, Mitrione won. What was the one I was looking for? Oh, the very first fight of the night, former Pride and K-1 star Mark Hunt. Yeah, got submitted within 2 minutes. He's, for whatever reason, UFC did not want Mark Hunt. I don't know why, you know. Not saying give him like probably because he was overpriced, I would guess.
Yeah.
But they were forced because of the buyout of Pride. They were forced to give this guy a couple fights, and he lost against what was his name, McCorkle.
Yes, Sean McCorkle.
Yeah, he lost him to Kimura in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, and apparently screwed up his arm pretty badly. The ref stopped it. Mark didn't even tap, I don't think. The ref just saw the arm give and stopped it.
Yeah, that's what happens when you don't tap.
Yeah.
Speaking of former Pride and K-1 guys, Crow Cop. But Frank Mir in the main event.
If you call that a fight, a main event.
This was a shitty fucking fight. Both guys look bad. Crow Cop is still flat-footed and not moving anything like he used to in Pride.
Yeah.
Again, not casting aspersions, but, you know, 2006. Or
for whatever reason.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to move like he used to.
Right. And, you know, age is always a factor because he's up there in fighter years.
He is, but, and, you know, I'm not even going to get into it. I'm not looking to be sued. Or Frank Mir, who put on like 30 pounds of muscle building up for Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
Very suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
And even heard from a reliable source in Vegas. But again, we're not going to get into that too much.
No proof.
No proof. Other than one person's word who Yeah. Anyway, yeah, this fight was a big hug fest. It was a boring stand-up. It was a lot of pressing against the cage by Frank. He couldn't get a crow cop down. And neither one had an exciting boxing match.
And I could swear they were just standing there having a conversation while Mir was pressing crow cop against the cage.
They could have been. They could have been talking about their wives and kids. They could have been like, you know, talking about their, you know, like, you know, well, you know what? You know, I tried this to clean my floors, but it really didn't work. What you need to use is, you know,
how do you get the blood out of a mat?
Yeah, and they're just, you know, exchanging stuff like that, you know, just like, okay, whatever. It's like, oh, kindergarten, like, oh, yeah, I gave my kid the 64 Crayola cassette. He's like, yeah, oh, yeah, my kid got that too. He loved it. Like, oh, yeah, don't let him run on your walls. Okay, oh, hold on, we got to break apart and, like, pretend to punch each other. Okay.
Herb's going to break us up again.
Yeah. Oh, Herb was just he was so mad at this fight. That was probably my favorite part, other than Joe Rogan burying it. Herb was, like, on them, like, immediately, work! Like, they would press against the fence, and it went, like, 2 seconds, like, work!
Right.
Gotta work, I'll break you up. It was like, it's like, yeah, you guys suck. Work!
And that's the way the fight went, up until four minutes into round three, when Frank suddenly grabbed Crow Cop's head, pulled him down, knee to the chin, Crow Cop goes down like your mom, and a couple more punches when he was already out, and Herb jumped in, and that was that.
Yeah, it was actually anticlimactic. Usually, like, exciting finish like that, you're usually like, yeah, well, at least that was cool, but it was like,
yeah, yay, fight, it's over.
Yeah, it was like 17 minutes of it. It was like, oh shit, like, I had to rewind it, like, I wasn't even paying attention. I was like, oh, Crow Cop's knocked out. What the fuck happened? And I go back and it's like, oh, wow, that was literally like half a second of excitement.
Right.
This fight 14 sucked.
Minutes.
Yeah. That fight sucked. It was horrible. Frank Mir knows it sucked. Crow Cop knows it sucked. They both kind of got stuck. They both, in their defense, they both got stuck in a bad position. So, whatever. Hope they're okay. Crow Cop will get at least one more fight. I'm guessing he's going to ask for some jobber.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll finish out his contract and retire.
Yeah.
But I think he's looking for, like, he wants his last fight to be a win. Because most guys, when they retire, it's because they just lost six in a row. So I'm guessing Crow Cop's, like, got one fight left on his contract, and he's, like, going to ask for, like, some nobody he can easily beat. As bad as he is, you know, he can still beat, you know,
he could still beat most of the mid-level guys, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And in this one, he'll get some nobody. He might get McCorkle. I think he can beat McCorkle.
Yeah, that could be.
Actually, he could beat Marcon at this point. Marcon looks shitty. Marcon does have a win over Crow Cop in both K1 and MMA.
Hmm.
So that would be an interesting fight.
Yeah.
One Crow Cop could win at this point, because, goddamn, Mark Hunt looks like crap.
Yeah.
Maybe not as bad as Butterbean. I don't know if you heard the story of his last fight, but
no.
He lost pretty quickly and decisively, as he tends to do lately. But yeah, being big and fat, you know, doesn't
didn't make for a good fighter.
Over time, you know, even with a hard head and a quick punch, you know, you will eventually just start to look like shit.
Right.
But that was a card. What's our next one?
Tomorrow night, which will be in the past by this time the show goes up, is WEC Aldo versus Gambarian, in which I believe, if I may remind our 70 listeners, you have said Gambarian by decision.
Lot.
By decision, and I think you are crazy. I don't see Aldo losing to this guy.
My lock. Is that this week? I really thought this was like next week.
No, that's tomorrow night. Thursday night
on WEC on Versus. On WEC on Versus.
It's one of those stupid weeknight fight cards that keeps me up late.
I still haven't watched the last WEC. I have, like, you sent me the DVD. I have it, like, sitting in my office. I still don't even know who won the title fight. I'm still unspoiled.
Okay, well, I won't spoil you, especially since I don't actually remember what the fight was.
It was the guy that beat Mike Brown.
Ooh. Oh, that was Aldo.
Yeah, it was Aldo and
was Aldo versus Faber? No.
No, yeah, the Faber fight. Yeah, that's what it was. Sorry.
Aldo versus Faber?
Did Faber win? You can go and
No, Aldo won. Aldo, yes, Aldo demolished Faber's leg.
No, 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 the one after that. It was Faber's first fight at 135.
Faber's fought at 135?
No, his buddy that is the champion. Oh, okay. It was the last one is like his buddy that's at 135 fought for the title.
Oh. I am completely drawing a blank on that.
Good. I'm still unspoiled. Oh, by the way, I got your last DVD. Thanks. UFC Fight Night NWC.
You finally got it.
Oh, yeah. I got it 2 weeks ago. Oh. I think you sent it 2 months ago. God bless the military postal system.
Yes. Good thing I wasn't sending cookies. They would have been eaten by cockroaches by now.
Oh, God. Do not send food to this ship. Freaking horrible. All right, well, we should start wrapping up. Anything else?
No, I have nothing.
I think we're good. As of this recording, I just found out the comedian Greg Giraldo died. I really thought the guy was funny. He's on all the, if you watch the Comedy Central roasts, he's one of those guys on it. Sucks. Good guy. I really thought he was funny. I think it was like a prescription mix-up. And
that's what they say.
It sucks. God bless you. In terms of pro wrestling deaths, we've had too many to even cover at this point.
Right.
Some were guys that, were going to die anyway because they were older, but some of them were, we just had a string of deaths of people way too young. Just the MO of pro wrestling these days. And, right when Linda McMahon is running for Senate, which is, I also find funny, that it's like a huge clump of deaths. Even with guys that didn't even work with her, but, your business is poison. A good Democrat running against her will use it against her, but they probably won't realize. They can't do a Google search. It's politics at its worst.
Yes.
I'm not even saying that because I'm not even Democrat or Republican, so don't fucking yell at me about it. But I'm just saying, as a playing politics, you got a lot of ammunition against this woman. Please, don't put a McMahon in the fucking Senate. All right. Well, that is anything else to add, Adam? Alan? Did I say Adam?
Adam?
How about Adam? Adam, do you have anything to say?
Why no?
Oh, do you get my email, by the way? Yes, we'll be roommates. Do I need to make the reservation? Ready?
Well,
yeah. It's on the air.
You could do the closing first, and then we can continue the conversation.
Then I'll sit on the air. It's more exciting.
Okay. It is way more exciting.
Hi, friend.
I've been listening since 40 minutes, so, it's...
I'm talking about pro wrestling deaths, and you can't fucking chime in.
I was in Connecticut last week, and all these Linda McMahon signs
were. How many times did you get by a chair?
Amazingly, I didn't. But all the Linda McMahon signs were just creepy. It was nothing but it was like the Sarah Palin signs. Linda! Exclamation mark. What's this? I'm like, oh wait, she's running for Senate.
She's not as hot as Sarah.
Sarah Palin is definitely milfish.
Yeah, Linda McMahon's not that hot.
No, she's not. But that's okay because she was in a coma for so long, and Trish Stratus was around instead. So
you remember when Kane pile driver?
Vaguely.
That might have screwed up her.
That's possible.
You remember that? It was the worst pile driver. It was a tombstone, and there was so much light between her head and the ground and his knees. It was about 2 feet of obviously she didn't hit.
Yeah, she doesn't have enough Shane in her.
Yeah. All right, anyway, just quickly going back. Alan, So we're roomies?
Yes. Saturday and Sunday night.
Do I need to make the reservation?
You've got the government ID.
You have a government ID too. I'm active duty.
I'm not a government employee. I have a green stripe on mine. They might not care, they might not notice, but yeah, if you don't mind, go ahead and make the reservation and I'll PayPal you half the money.
Sure. Okay. All right, well, back to the important things for wrestling.
I'm completely behind on wrestling. I haven't watched it in
months. Well, that guy has died lately.
Who died?
Trent Acid died.
I don't even know who that is.
He's an indie wrestler.
Ah.
Is it Greg? But the important thing is Iron Sheik is still alive.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, both Iron Sheiks. Iron Sheik one's dead, isn't he?
Yeah. Iron Sheik's still alive, which is amazing. For my audience to know, if any of the RFC audience remembers Hooper X, I was his best man in his wedding a couple of years ago, and I tried to hire the Iron Sheik for the bachelor party.
Oh, wow.
And I actually had a deposit down, it was going to happen, and I got, it was actually the Howard Stern show. Apparently, Iron Sheik was between two different management groups. And, the Howard Stern show booked him for that weekend also. And not the show, but the, his little fucking hangers-on people were doing a comedy show in Jersey. And, like, they booked him also. And, like, I just got all of a sudden, like, 2 weeks before the wedding or before the bachelor party, I got my money refunded and, like, kind of told, like, yeah, he's taking this on. I was kind of pissed off, but we made the bachelor party work anyway.
Yeah, I missed it. I didn't show up till later on. I suck.
Well, you always suck.
True.
But what's going on? Matt Hardy is high on somas apparently, and about to get fired. Always fun things. If you don't know what somas are like apparently this great muscle relaxer that wrestlers have been abusing for like the last 10 years. And WWE just completely banned them, even with the prescription. It's like, no, you can't take them at all. We don't care. So Matt Hardy, I don't know if that's why Matt Hardy's fat lately, but he definitely shouldn't be taking muscle relaxers anymore. He embarrasses himself in the UK. You think of that, Brian?
Not really. I just wanted to say, hey.
I was going to go into wrestling stuff because you were here. The dead silence is also very soothing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I got up and left when you started talking about wrestling. I've been listening. I just have nothing to add. I'm making a smoothie.
All right, well, apparently that will do us for Outside the Cage this week. I want to thank Alan Young for stopping by.
It's all over! Really, this time.
Hey! I thank Brian Kilby for showing up again.
Hey.
We'll see you next time outside the cage.
You've been listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabriel Owens, Alan Young, and Brian Kilby. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Outside the Cage is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.